Reading Matthew 2, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, let's pray as we look at this passage together. Some words from Psalm 95. "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Father, as we look now at the worship of the wise men, please stir up in us that desire to worship your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, We Three Kings is a popular carol, and the Three Kings themselves feature on many Christmas cards. No doubt you've had many of those this year. The carol is clearly based on the Bible passage we've just read, but it has to be said it has exercised a fair degree of poetic license. Just in the first three words, we can find two examples. Matthew doesn't tell us how many visitors from the east there actually were, but tradition seems to have assumed three of them from the three different types of gift they brought. Matthew calls these visitors magi, or wise men, not kings. There are only two kings in this story, King Herod and Jesus, the Christ, the King of the Jews. The next three verses of the carol, if you know it, they go on to expand on the significance of each of the three gifts: gold for a king, frankincense showing deity, and myrrh pointing to suffering and death. But Matthew gives us no such interpretation. He simply describes them as treasures, things of value that probably had a very practical use in being sold to enable this poor family to survive whilst away from their home in Nazareth. Now, it's fine to sing the Three Kings carol, I'm not against that, but I thought it could be helpful to peel away the added traditions so that we see more clearly what the Bible actually says. As I walk us through Matthew's account, we'll see three very different reactions to Jesus' arrival. We'll see apathy, we'll see hostility, and we'll see worship. Well, at the end of chapter 1, Matthew has given us the bare facts of Jesus being born and named. Now he gives us a little geographical and historical context. Verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Matthew agrees with Luke on Bethlehem being the place of birth. And with the help of other historical sources, we can identify this Herod, of which there were several generations, as Herod the Great, who ruled over Judea, Galilee, and two other provinces from 37 to 4 BC. Jesus' birth was probably in that final year, 4 BC. Herod was a powerful figure, noted for his administrative gifts and skills, undertaking many building projects, including the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. But he was also a ruthless character and became increasingly paranoid in his later years. In fits of rage, he'd murdered his wife and two of his own sons. Well, Jerusalem was the home of this tyrant, and it was to Jerusalem that the Magi come. We read, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The Magi, however many there were, probably came from Babylon, Persia, or Arabia, somewhere to the east, where they would have studied the stars, planets, comets, etc., and related their observations to what they read in books on astrology and religious texts. They may well have had access to Jewish books and come across the oracle of Balaam in the Old Testament book of Numbers. Numbers 24 includes the lines, "A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel." But quite how they related what they read to the star that they saw rise and concluded that that meant a new king of the Jews had been born is beyond our understanding. God often moves in mysterious ways, and we must conclude that it was he who convinced the Magi of what had happened and gave them the faith to seek out this new king. If God used angels to announce this new birth to shepherds and lead them to the scene, there is no reason why he cannot use a star to do the same for the Magi. Well, many nativity plays put the shepherds and the wise men around the manger at the same time, but the visit of the Magi must have been some time later, probably several months later. Their journey, for a start, would have taken several weeks. And in verse 7, you see Herod says he's wanting to know the exact time of the star rising. Clearly, he realizes it was weeks or months ago. Now, traditionally, we think of this star leading the wise men first to Jerusalem, then on to Bethlehem. But there's no suggestion in verse 1 that the star was showing them the direction to go. The obvious place to go to find the one who's been born king of the Jews was the capital of the Jewish territory, Jerusalem. Surely everyone there would have heard of their new king being born, so it shouldn't be difficult to find him. The Magi head off, and maybe they go straight to Herod's royal palace to make their inquiry. I imagine they were quite shocked to find that no one in Jerusalem seemed to have heard about the new arrival. And maybe they started to doubt whether their interpretation of the rising star was correct. Well, whether Herod hears directly from the Magi or through others, he's deeply troubled by their provocative question. He knows there's been no royal birth in his own household. Inside, he must have been fuming. "What do you mean, someone born king of the Jews? I'm the king of the Jews round here. No one's going to interfere with my rule and get away with it." Matthew tells us in his measured way, verse 3, that King Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. Why was Jerusalem disturbed? Well, imagine that you're out walking in the country with a group of friends when you come across an old tree with the trunk hollowed out. And as you go past, you notice that there's a stream of wasps going in and out, and you look inside and see the papery structure of a nest. Then you hear a scream from one of your friends and you realize he's been stung. He flies into a rage, picks up a stick and says, "I'm going to beat the living daylights out of those wasps." And he starts to hack at the wasp's nest. Suddenly, it's not just your friend who's disturbed. You are all in trouble and want to run away as fast as possible. Well, I guess it was a bit like that for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. If Herod was angry about something to do with his rule over the Jewish nation, then it was likely to mean trouble for them too. But Herod is a shrewd character and has learnt to hide his anger whilst he works out how to deal with whatever has angered him or threatened him. So he starts to hatch a plot to kill this new king who threatens his rule, all the time pretending that he's like the Magi in wanting to worship Jesus. You see that a bit later at the end of verse 8. He says, so that I may too may go and worship him. But first he needs to find out where the new king is. Now Herod has over 30 years' experience in ruling over the Jewish people, but he hasn't been much interested in their religion, though he knew enough of Jewish history and tradition to know of their expectation of a Messiah, a coming king. Could this be him? Herod seems to make this connection. Better get the experts in. So he calls in the chief priests and teachers of the law. And it doesn't take them long to come up with the answer, and they all seem to agree that the Messiah, the king that the Jewish people have been waiting for, was to be born in Bethlehem, because that's what hundreds of years earlier the prophet Micah had said would happen. Now imagine you were one of those religious leaders and you know your scriptures have said that the one whom your people have been waiting for to set you free was going to come to Bethlehem. And you've just heard from these visitors a credible report that this Messiah has recently been born. What would you do? Well, I like to think that I would have rushed off to Bethlehem to check this out and see for myself. But what do these religious leaders do? Apparently, nothing. Bethlehem is only about 5 miles away, but it seems they can't be bothered to make the journey themselves. Either they don't believe what their scriptures say, or they just don't want to meet their Messiah. Their response? Apathy. Do nothing. They can't be bothered. But Herod is bothered. Herod now knows that the star is the sign of the new king's birth and that Bethlehem is the place of birth. He has two vital bits of information, but for his plot, he still needs to know the time of the birth. It's like in the game of Cluedo. I wonder if any of you have played Cluedo over the Christmas period, where you've worked out who did the murder and in which room the murder happened, but you've still got to work out what the murder weapon was. So Herod arranges another audience with the wise men. Verse 7, the Magi tell him when they first saw the star, and Herod can then work out how old this new king is. He's just going to get the wise men to come back and confirm that the new king is still in Bethlehem, and his plot will be ready to action. He's going to order that all the baby boys in Bethlehem, aged 2 or under, be killed. That way, Herod thinks he will ensure that the new king Jesus is killed. But Herod doesn't have as much control over events as he thinks. God sees through all Herod's scheming and won't allow his precious son to be killed until the time that God has chosen for him to die. We see Herod's plot beginning to unravel through the wise men's warning dream in verse 12. And if you read on in the chapter, you'll see that though Herod carried out his gruesome plan, Jesus escaped. So Herod's response to Jesus is this murderous hostility. He feels threatened by Jesus and just wants him dead. Well, the Magi, apparently unaware of Herod's scheming, but glad to have the information on where to head to find the one they've come to worship, verse 9. After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And we don't know what this star was. It's probably not what astronomers today would call a star, but it was evidently a bright and distinctive source of light in the sky. It was distinctive enough for the Magi to have recognized it as the rising star which had begun their search for Jesus. If the lack of knowledge of Jesus' birth in Jerusalem had shaken their faith, seeing the star again, the same star, must have rekindled that faith. No wonder they were overjoyed to see it. A more literal translation of what Matthew actually wrote is that they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And now God somehow uses this starlight to lead them to the house where Jesus and his mother were staying. Verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It seems such a brief account of so momentous an occasion. Imagine a royal wedding or a coronation of a new king or queen in our own country being described in the national newspapers. There would be pages and pages of descriptions of what happened, who was there, what they were wearing, what people said, not to mention all the comments and analysis from various pundits. You'd feel a bit hard done by if it was just a couple of sentences and no pictures. But Matthew's simple two-sentence description helps us to focus on what was really important. They worshipped Jesus. They'd found the one they came to see, and they did what they said they had come to do. They bowed down, something they probably would have felt appropriate before any king. But this king, they also worshipped. Worship is something that is only appropriate for one who is God. The Magi, these wise men, had learnt from their study, no doubt guided by the Holy Spirit, to see that this King of the Jews, this long-awaited Messiah, was God in human flesh. And so they worship him, bowing down before this little child and offering him the costly gifts that they have brought to show their devotion to him. These men showed that they really were wise. So the Magi's response to Jesus is worship. Three very different responses to the arrival of King Jesus: the apathy of the religious leaders, the murderous hostility of Herod, and the worship of the Magi. As I draw to a close, let me put you two questions to ask yourself. Which of these three responses is most like how I have responded to Jesus up until now? And secondly, do I want to change to be more like those wise men? You see, we can be like those priests and teachers of the law in their apathy towards meeting the real Jesus. We may have a good knowledge of the Christian faith, but we're not really interested in digging any deeper into what the Bible teaches about Jesus and what that means for us. We just want a cozy and comfortable Jesus who doesn't disrupt our lifestyle. But wise men, wise people, want to know the truth, even if that means big changes to their plans and costly sacrifices. We can be like Herod in the hostility he showed towards Jesus. Herod saw straight away that Jesus was a threat to his authority. Now, whilst none of us are in the position of a Herod, we each have an authority over our own lives and can get very angry when we feel that authority being constrained by others, be that parents, teachers, bosses, police, or what Jesus teaches. Maybe we're suppressing our anger against Jesus because, like Herod, we don't want others to see it. But inside, do we resent the fact that we feel we ought to come to church or that we can't enjoy all the things that some of our friends get up to? We know what God has said and done, but we're desperately fighting against it to try and preserve our own authority in our life. But wise men, wise people, willingly bow before the divine King and accept his authority because they know he has their best interests at heart. So we can be like the Magi in their desire to meet Jesus in person and worship him. Like them, we can be looking to see what God is doing in his world and keen to follow where he leads. It was only the Magi who found joy in the one born King of the Jews. The religious leaders didn't, Herod didn't. But what exceedingly great joy they found. And that joy reached its climax in finding and worshipping Jesus. In this new year, I want to become more like those wise men, finding my joy in Jesus and in worship of him. How about you? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you brought strangers to worship Jesus when those who should have welcomed him were not interested or were actively hostile. Thank you that you have shown us how Jesus is worthy of all our worship because he is your King, the Messiah you promised to your ancient people long before his human birth to be the Saviour of all peoples. Thank you that through his life, death and resurrection, you have opened to us your kingdom, and in your great love you invite us in. Please help us to welcome Jesus into our lives today and to worship him appropriately each day from now on into eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.